Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some french fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine.
Canada, huh? Almost made it.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
You smell something, Rabbit?
Fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
The warmth of your love's like the warmth of the sun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand. Now the darkness has gone. This will be our year. Took a long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody aboard tonight for this show. Final one of 2021, and might I add, thank goodness 2021 is over. I'm not sure if we're going in the right direction, though, based upon everything that's happened in the last couple of days, but we'll discuss all of that tonight because things are wildly out of control right now. Happy, though, beyond happy, in fact, to have back a co-host that we got to know pretty well for a few months before she ventured off out west, but she's back. She's raring to go and happy to have Jenna Thompson back with us. Jenna, how are you?
I am, you know what? It's a tricky question. Overall, I'm doing well, but, you know, pretty over all this COVID stuff, that's for sure. It's a nice welcome back to Winnipeg, right into isolation I go. So that's
your, yeah, well, we'll get through whatever you're, everything you're going through. But in saying that, obviously a little bit different coming back now in terms of when you left, it was nice and sunny and warm and frigidly cold now in terms of returning back. But in terms of being back, how was school out in Edmonton that you had to finish there?
It was really good, honestly. I mean, I kind of forgot about how much work school is, but overall, it was good, and I'm super excited to finally be done. But I mean, it was good, but it's definitely nice to be back home. I missed it here as much as I didn't think I would. I definitely did.
That's all right. We're glad that you're back, and certainly hope that maybe you'll stay a little longer this time and see where everything goes from there, and maybe fill out a little bit more time on this show here. So
yeah, I would love that. I think I'm here for a while now.
I was gonna say, it's not like the invitation ever gets old on this show, so you're more than welcome to join us anytime. So regularly is even better, so we'll see where your life gets you to. But in saying that, life has kind of stopped for everybody else when it comes to playing hockey, mostly because there is no hockey being played right now. No NHL, no double IHF events of any sort, no Canada West because they're on break, and we'll see what happens when they come back. But let's get into this because obviously the big news on Wednesday was, unfortunately, a very loud thud that the World Juniors have been canceled due to the growing number of positive cases of Omicron variant that we're seeing in players, in officials at the event. Not the way that the double IHF obviously wanted it to end, but should we be surprised that this happened? Like, should we really look at this and go, yeah, this was unexpected?
No, I mean, we've been dealing with this for, I don't even know how many years it's been now.
That's, it feels terrible. Like forever.
Forever. And I feel like we've had this situation come up so many times. And I mean, yeah, I definitely don't think it was unexpected, especially with the way numbers have been trending, you know, with COVID in Alberta and other places for the last little bit. And just, I mean, yeah, I am shocked that people are shocked about it, to be honest with you.
So the news was, is that the Americans had tests that basically were positive on Tuesday. They had to have a game canceled in terms of them forfeiting a game, which kind of sucks, but I mean, it's a short tournament, you got to try and squeeze many games in. But the big news was, is that on Wednesday, two more games, Russia versus Slovakia was going to be canceled due to a positive test with Russia. Finland versus Czechia would have been canceled because of a positive test in the Czechia camp. And then there were at least five officials that had tested positive as well. So it's going through the tournament just as quickly as we've seen it go through society. I am rather bothered I'll say, rather annoyed by the fact that the IIHF didn't seem to see this coming. They thought that they were going to lock this down, semi-lock this down. I'll get into that in a second, but semi-lock this down where players, officials, everybody's going to be safe based upon what we've seen and how fast this thing is spreading.
Yeah, I agree with your comment on the semi-lock it down for sure. I mean, we've seen it, like I said, with the NHL and everything over the last couple of years, that how fast it, you know, I can't think of the word. how fast it transfers. That's not the right word. You know where I'm going with this, though.
Transmitted?
It spreads. That's the right word.
All right.
That was hard. I don't know how they thought they could semi-lock it down. I'll let you go into detail about that and just expect everyone to be safe, especially with knowing how like contagious this strain of the virus is right now.
So what bothers me, and again, this is just secondhand or third-hand reports that I'm getting from places like Red Deer and obviously in Edmonton, about how the IIHF sort of set up the, it's not a bubble, but how they sort of set up this bubble that they were trying to create in terms of what happened. Rumor has it is that the teams that were staying in Red Deer, okay, the handful of teams that were down in the second community in Red Deer were literally able to do whatever they wanted at the hotel. In and out, walking past each other, you know, passing past each other. There were a number of members of the public that were staying at that same hotel. They were allowed to go in and out and past the teams as well. There was no real lockdown when it came to controlling what was happening in that hotel. And now I'm not criticizing the teams, and I'm not criticizing IIHF here, but like you're basically holding the door open for Omicron at that point.
Yeah, I heard that there was a wedding reception that was supposed to be held at that hotel. I think it was Wednesday. I need to go find the thing that I was reading it on. I don't know how true that is, but like you said, just kind of opening the door and letting whoever in. I mean, when it comes to a tournament like this, you got to be a little more careful, and there has to be some sort of bubble set up. Otherwise, this is bound to happen at some point.
So, I mean, we talked, and there was lots of outrage, and granted, rightly so, for all of the events, mostly the under 18 Women's World Championship, because that was the big sort of marquee event in January. But for the six events that were canceled in January by the IIHF, a lot of outrage, a lot of anger about that. And again, I get it. World Juniors are now in that group. So we have seven major tournaments basically that have been canceled by the IIHF. NHL has put off hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue because they've postponed and or going to try and squeeze games in later in the year. Anyway, my question is, are we not learning from the fact that bubbles work really well compared to just go about your business and don't worry about it?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that, like I said, it shocks me that people are shocked that this happened, especially when there was no real bubble in place. We saw the bubbles work before, but if you're not going to put something like that in place, this is bound to happen.
But it would make sense for me anyway, and maybe I'm way off on this, and you can rip me if I am, but it would make sense for me that if you have a group of people gathering, just as we hear for public health, you know, make sure you're doing the testing before, make sure you're doing, you know, all of the necessary things to be vaccinated, all that kind of stuff. Why would you not then limit the number of contacts that you have within that bubble? Again, wedding reception aside, whether or not public are coming in and out, even limiting the contact between teams in that bubble. Why are you not taking this as serious as you did in 2020 when you bubbled up and everything ran very smoothly? This is the part that really bothers me, because I look at this and I go, I get that the NHL, in terms of them being a revenue-driven business, that they want to create and make money as much as they can when it comes to putting fans in the stands and all that kind of stuff. Another bubble for the NHL, as we've heard repeatedly from Gary Bettman, simply wouldn't work. For the IIHF, there were 4,000 people at the Canada game for opening night, for Canada's opening game. It's basically friends and family at the games because of how crazy this spread and how quickly everything was locked down by Alberta Health. In saying that, the moment that they locked it down, why wouldn't the double IHF just go, okay, stop. Like, this is why we should have had a bubble here.
You would think. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Cause...
Like, stop worrying about the money is basically what I'm getting at. And this is the part that kills me, because we talk about this ad nauseum. The business of the game sometimes matters less than the humanity of the game. And in this case, the humanity matters if you want to have a tournament. Forget the business side. You're going to lose money regardless. If you really want to have this tournament, you pour all of your resources into the humanity side in terms of protecting players, coaches, staff, whatever you got to do. You pour all of your resources into that bucket and you go, all right, we'll bubble up completely again. We won't have fans. No big deal. We'll get this tournament done.
Yeah.
Like, does that not make sense for every league moving forward now? Like, again, I know it's tough for the double IHF to sort of rein in the NHL. They're completely separate from each other and don't really have a lot of intermingling with each other. But like January 1st, would that not be a good time just to go, all right, every sport that wants to be out there, football, basketball, soccer, whatever you want, you're all bubbled. Everybody's bubbling now.
You would think. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm at the point where just give me some sort of entertainment, whether it's on TV. I don't care. If it's on TV, it's still on TV. It's still being played. But just give me something so that I don't have to sit here and go, well, what am I going to watch for the next 2 weeks now?
Well, yeah. And then they sit there and say, you know, like, oh, it's all about safety, blah, blah, blah. But like, clearly it's not, because there's a way to do it safely. And it's just no one's doing it that way because you're not going to make money. And I know we talked about this how many times before, but it's when it comes to sports, especially hockey, but I mean, we just talk about a lot more with hockey, but it's always comes down to business over, you know, people or safety or anything. And like, that's just kind of showing through again for the, I don't even know how many time we've talked about it.
Well, I mean, that's exactly the problem, is that every time we come back to it, the business of hockey seems to be the most important thing to people. When we look at the actual game of hockey being played, everybody talks about, oh, the players are so great, oh, the players are so talented, the players, but nobody seems to care that you can lose a little bit of money and put on a good product still.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to say, oh, that World Juniors was terrible last year. I mean, they're going to, again, people can have their opinion on what it was. Oh, that World Juniors was terrible because there were no fans in the stands. Yeah, it's different. Don't get me wrong. It's different. But you got the World Juniors done last year. Nobody got sick and everybody went home happy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, regardless of if you think that sucks or not, like you said, it's different and people don't seem to like different. However, I mean, I don't know how you can complain about still being able to watch that level of hockey, whether it's on TV or not, but I don't know. Everyone's just driving me crazy with this whole situation, to be honest with you.
I 100% agree with that. I do want to get into, because again, there are all sorts of news, other news that we can talk about for sure. But obviously the big news was World Juniors being canceled. I struggle with a few things that have been said, because there have been statements that have been released. Tom Rennie and Scott Smith, for example, were talking about it. They released a statement on Wednesday afternoon that basically said, quote, since the beginning of the pandemic, we've always made the health and safety of event participants and the community at large a priority. Given the news that we have encountered positive cases in the World Junior environment, we understand and support the decision to cancel the remainder of the event. Okay, so that's great. Except that we know, based upon discussions this week with the IIHF and how they sort of set things up, is that the Hockey Federation that's hosting the event, so whether it be Hockey Sweden, USA Hockey, Hockey Canada, they play the largest part in terms of ensuring that the event runs successfully. So my question would have been, if I'm Tom Rennie, is you guys talk, again, Hockey Canada talks about, you know, how much effort and how much emphasis they put on the health and safety of the participants in the community. Why wouldn't Tom Rennie just go, get everybody over here on December 15th, like we talked about, and bubble hard. Don't just let them come in and go, oh, well, you know, they can sit around and do nothing now. Especially when you've canceled the pre-tournament games, you have that 10-day window where you can go, all right, we've got 10 days to make sure everybody's healthy and everybody's COVID-free.
Yeah.
Like, would that not have made more sense to do if we're canceling all the pre-tournament games?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it just seems like lack of planning again, but they had time to plan. So I'm not sure how that can be a thing, but it just seems to be a thing that happens again when it shouldn't be, but.
Oh, well. Maybe we'll see somebody give their head a shake at some point. Because we have, I mean, there's another big double IHF event coming up right away. And this is where I'm sort of leading to, in that in February, the double IHF and the IOC are hosting this little thing called the Olympics.
Yeah, just a little thing.
Little thing. And again, there's a big Olympic hockey tournament in there for both the men and the women. We saw the women's rivalry series postpone or cancel their last two games, I guess. Not postpone, but cancel them. Because there are players in COVID protocol for both teams. And now we're talking about sending those players. Again, and I'm not faulting the players here, but now we're talking about sending those players to China, where they have made it very clear they're going to lock down hard if anybody screws up and gets COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking them to basically go in cold. Is that what we want? Like, I don't understand the emphasis on putting the Olympics on now if you can't have the tournaments in the month before, when 2 weeks after the end of January, we're talking about the biggest tournament on the planet.
Yeah, I don't foresee it going smoothly. I mean, like, I just literally none of this. Like, I've been scrolling through the rabbit holes of Twitter all day today about stuff like this, and it just, I don't see any of it going well, and I don't know how people can just expect that it's going to go well. Like you said, we're canceling things like pre-tournaments, whatever, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you're gonna go in cold and then we're gonna force you all to travel. Like, I just, like, if it's not working on a smaller scale, it's not gonna work on a large scale like that.
And we're talking about, you know, 22 or 24 events now. Like, the number of athletes you have to basically bubble in at the Olympics would be far bigger. But at the end of the day, if you simply bubbled them near, away from each other and near to their venue, wherever they're going to be working, wherever they're going to be doing their event, it would make more sense to do smaller individual bubbles than it would to do one gigantic bubble in the athletes' village. I get that the athletes' village is good for housing, but at the end of the day, less is more in this case.
I mean, you would think at that point, and it comes back to, at this point, they've had, you know, 2 years to see what's working, see what's not working. And I mean, throwing that many athletes into one giant bubble just doesn't seem like it's going to work. Like, one of them does something wrong, you're kind of screwing over all of them, you know?
But I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Is that if you could make it smaller, you should make it smaller. And I'm not saying that's good for the experience at the Olympics, but if you want to go to the Olympics, these are the conditions you have to play under. So
I think at this point, like, the experience is going to be different no matter what, because there is a pandemic going on. Like, I think, yes, obviously the experience is a huge part of it. At the same time, would you, like, rather go to the Olympics and be safe, or go there and everything just blow up because you wanted the experience to be the same way that, you know?
See, I mean, looking at what they did in terms of the World Juniors, where they found positive cases and then had to forfeit games. Like, can you do that in the Olympics and call that a fair and equitable competition?
No.
it comes back to the idea that if we're going to hold this tournament, if we're going to hold any tournament, I mean, forget hockey. We're talking, you know, whether it's downhill skiing, whether it's, you know, figure skating, whether it's any of this stuff. If players or competitors are forced to pull out because of positive tests, and or affect the rest of their team by testing positive and having a full team having to pull out or forfeit. Like, why are we trying to ram this down everybody's throat?
Yeah.
I don't understand this need. I get that it's great to make money, and I get that everybody, you know, that China's put a wad of cash in and built all these venues and done all this great stuff. But at some point, can we just stop and go, all right, we just need to take a break here for a while. Like, I know it sucks, but give us a month or three and we'll see where we go from here.
No, 100%. And you think that that would be the case. At the same time, I think everyone, I don't even know. Like, it, to me, it makes sense, you know? But I think to a lot of people out there, as we can see by their reactions with the cancellation of the World Juniors alone, that would not go over well. And I think they're probably scared of that too, which at this point, safety should be more important than anything. But I mean, who am I to say that, I guess?
But I mean, for people that are reacting negatively, and I get it, it sucks. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, this is the same same discussion we had 1 year ago, basically in December as well, you and I. It sucks that this has to happen. It sucks that we are losing games and not getting a chance to see hockey and not getting a chance. It's all entertainment. Yeah. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter when it comes to the greater public health of everybody. And this is the part that I really need people to grasp onto. If you're worried about being entertained in a pandemic, you're in it for the wrong reason.
Yeah. I just think, most people are not concerned. Well, no, I'm not saying most people. That is a bad, but a lot of people are kind of just in it for themselves at this point. And it's kind of scary with the way the numbers and everything are right now, to be honest with you. But I don't know. I mean, I'm over it just as much as everyone else. And I am, yes, that's terrible that everything, you know, is getting canceled. At the same time, I'd rather have this thing end a little bit sooner and cases not skyrocket and people not be getting sick 24/7.
So, you know? I mean, I mean, if we're talking, and again, I use this all often, if we're talking about sports being a microcosm of society, that hockey occasionally will reflect society in general, we're seeing lockdowns go into place all over the place through various public health departments and public health people. We're seeing provinces and states and countries starting to lock down again. Again, why are we so shocked that hockey is starting to lock down again?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the bigger picture is public health here, folks. Let's get on board with the idea of having a healthy public, and then we can get back to having good, healthy hockey.
Yeah. I've never thought about it like that, but I like that.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not saying that it reflects everything that's going on in society. I'm not saying that that's even close to what's happening, but no. If we're locking down provinces and locking down states in the U.S., why are we surprised that we've locked down hockey again?
Yeah.
Just grab a brain here, people. But I don't know. I'm not going to beat that to death anymore. Although I am concerned because obviously with the outbreak that we're seeing in Alberta, there are 4 Canada West teams that play there. I'm a little concerned about what may happen when we return for Canada West in the second week of January.
Yeah, the numbers are not great. And I mean, obviously I was out there a bit. The team has been pretty cautious with everything. I mean, I know we saw the men's team have a little bit of an outbreak.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like their practices and stuff are just, they're pretty cautious, which, I mean, for McEwen, I haven't really seen other teams firsthand. At the same time, everything else in Alberta is not so much. It's nobody really seems to care, which is kind of scary.
It's weird that you say that, considering that, you know, we're seeing the World Juniors shut down right in their backyard, basically. But I struggle. It's not me that has to worry about it. Again, we don't travel with the team or anything like that. But talking to Julia Bird and Kylie Lasuk last week, both of them said they were quite relieved to not be traveling during this whole Omicron scare.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine doing that if you're going to be traveling across the country, across the whole setup in terms of Canada West going out west like that. I can't imagine doing that, like traveling and running the risk and all that kind of stuff. So I know you traveled back, but how was your experience coming back? Was it arduous? Did you feel any sort of like, oh my God, like I gotta be safer here?
I think it's just, I mean, the stress in general of it all. I mean, I drove, so I was able to, you know, stay away from people a lot more, minus, you know, you get out at gas stations and stuff. And
yeah,
it's scary. You just don't know, you know, you get used to, like, I was in Alberta, I was used to the way things were kind of. And then you're going to, you know, a different province. For me, I went through Sask and then back here, and it's just different because you don't know what to expect. And I would not, like, I wouldn't like to travel back out there right now, that's for sure. And I mean, I lived there for however long, but it's not a place, like, I wouldn't want to be traveling anywhere right now, to be honest with you. It's scary. It's scary times.
I like I said, I'm at the point where if you don't have to, don't. And it comes down to everything. I am talking, like, even just going to the grocery store. If you don't have to, don't.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
That easy.
Yeah, I know. I'm stuck in isolation again, and I'm not even that mad about it, to be honest with you.
You could use a little more hockey on TV, though, I heard. But
yeah, I'm getting pretty sick of Netflix, so.
That darn no hockey stuff. I do want to bring up one news story because you certainly brought it up, and we'll talk a little bit about this, and we'll get to other stuff in a second that we can yap about. But it was announced during all the hubbub that Canadiens prospect Logan Mailloux has been reinstated effective January 1st, 2022 to play in the OHL. He's a London Knights defenseman. He certainly can suit up for the London Knights if he wants. And I have a feeling, and I hate to say this, I have a feeling that he probably will be suiting up for the London Knights. But yeah, nah. I don't like this at all.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I don't really understand what the thought process is. And I know, like, there's the statement said he's been working on certain things, you know, like sport, this mental health, blah, blah, but like nothing says that he's been working on anything to do with sexual violence or, you know, violence against women, because, you know, it was a sex crime. There's no, like, no one's stating that he's been working on that. No one's stating that he's done anything that, and the fact that his apology at the start was just pure garbage, to say the least. I don't know. I don't know why. And the fact that they're just kind of throwing it in when there's all this other stuff going on kind of seems like they're trying to cover it up. So I don't know.
So here's the part that I struggle with. And I'm not denying that I struggle with the entire concept altogether, but here, this is the specific that I really don't understand. And maybe I'm way off. Maybe I don't know because I've never taken the courses. I have taken at least one of them though, but so he's working with a woman by the name of Wendy Glover. Now, Wendy Glover is a London-based experienced holistic athlete development practitioner, academic and personal development advisor, teacher, and member of Ontario School Counselors Association, according to the OHL. Okay, so she's whatever. She's got a bunch of titles and certificates and everything. The plan that he's on, that Logan Mailloux has put on, okay, includes weekly meetings, ongoing completion of certifications, reflection of concept explored. Here's where things veer way off the road for me. Some of the certifications and programs available to athletes that he completed. Okay. I want you to make note of this. Okay. Cause remember he's officially a sex offender, that he basically committed a sex crime and was convicted on that. So here are the certain certifications and programs that he's been completing. Okay. Respect in sport, mental health in sport, sport media, ethics in sport, diversity and inclusion, sport psychology, and cultural awareness.
There we go.
None of those have anything to do with the crime that he committed. None of that has anything to do with his behavior off the ice. Respect in sport, mental health in sport, sport media, ethics in sport. The first four are all about sports, not about behavioral training.
That's kind of what I was getting at too. Like, none of it goes towards anything that he's done. Like, no, nothing about sexual violence, nothing, any, you know, why is it about sport when his crime happened not during, you know, like, yes, obviously it relates to sport because he plays hockey, but it goes back to more than just sport because he's a human being who did a crime which is outside of hockey. I just feel like there's so much missing from this. And, like, the respect in sport is something that every athlete has to take. I've had to complete respect in sport. I don't know how many. Like, it's just such basic stuff that every athlete has to do anyways.
But this is the thing, is I look at this and I go, I get what you're doing here. Like, I understand what you're doing in terms of developing this player into becoming, you know, this respectful, you know, good person in the sport he's chosen. But at what point does he learn not to be, I don't know, a sexual deviant?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get how the OHL is just looking at this and going, you know what? This is good. We're good with this.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it just, I don't get it. And I don't think anyone gets it. I mean, there's some,
The only people who get it right now are the OHL, Logan Mailloux, and his advisor here. Cause I don't see any of it. I don't get this, how it works. So.
Well, yeah, it was just, I don't know. I don't get it. It's blowing my mind. And the fact that they kind of just threw it out there at the time they did really adds to it for me, kind of shows that they knew what they were doing with that, trying to cover it up a little bit. There's no way that they think that's the right thing to do. Like, I don't understand. I'm just all heated now because I can't even speak. I just don't get it.
So his indefinite suspension, for those that are wondering, ended at 26 games.
Yeah.
So for anybody who wants to yap about cancel culture or that crap about how he was treated so unfairly, 26 games is not the end of his life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what can you do, I guess? I mean, that's hockey for you, right? Good old hockey coming through for us again.
It makes me so mad.
So the OHL statement, according to what they did, what they put out, basically stated that at the time of suspension, the league stated that any decision on reinstatement will be based in part on the player's conduct since his return to Canada and the appropriate treatment, counseling, mentoring, and education he received from the date of this decision. Now, again, he's participated in therapy and counseling with Dr. Lindsay Forbes. Not saying that Dr. Lindsay Forbes is terrible. I don't know anything about her. But yeah. Therapy and counseling certainly is going to help him. I get that. I want to see some remorse from this kid. I want to see some admission that he did wrong. And certainly not the text apology he gave to his victim. I want to see him actually make right on that. I don't care if it costs him the rest of his professional career to pay off whatever debt is owed to her. But at some point, somebody has to make Logan Mailloux step up and go, I'm a dirtbag.
Yeah. Just anything out of him that doesn't, you know, like we had, or he had the statement when all this first came to light and it was very clear that it didn't mean, didn't mean anything. But I don't know. Like, I agree 100% with you. He needs to come forward. We need to hear more from him and not more about why he did what he did, but admitting that he did something and that he sucks, essentially. But
I don't care if you want to admit that you suck and that you're a complete creep, but I want to see some actual remorse from this kid. Like, I want to see this kid actually say, I messed up bad, I screwed up somebody else's life, and I'm gonna make right on it now. I want to hear the make right part mostly, because the young lady who hasn't sought any sort of compensation, like she hasn't sued him, she hasn't done any of that stuff. She just wants an apology.
Yeah.
I want to see him take it one step further. I don't care if it costs him 10% of his entry-level contract with the Canadians, assuming they sign him and bring him into camp. I don't want to see that. I don't care if it costs him that much money. I want to see her life put back on to the track that she was on by having him do the right thing.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's so much more than just like he did something. Like, that's going to affect her for a long time. And I agree with you. Like, there needs to be some actions here. There needs to be something.
Well,
I don't know. Like, I just, it should have been things that were done before the thought of him even being allowed to play again happened. But here we are. So
I know you were in the province. I know that we haven't really talked about this because it kind of fell through the cracks a little bit last week, being that we interviewed a couple of players. So for those that know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when Jason Bijak was on the show that the arena deal in Calgary had been basically greenlit because of a little bit of there was no protest for any of the building, any of the sort of the setup in terms of where they were going to build. Nobody complained about any of that stuff. So it was basically greenlit. And then days later, the Calgary Flames group basically called off the arena being built.
Oh, what? I'm sorry, what?
So, the greenlit Calgary Arena project, it basically went off the rails when the costs for building and some of the environmental issues that were being worked into the costs as well were added up. the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, aka the Calgary Flames and their affiliated partners, went back to the city of Calgary and said, "We're out. We don't want to do this anymore." Calgary Mayor Jody Gondek.
I have no words.
Calgary Mayor Jody Gondek basically brought forth some long-standing agreements where it was remediation and environmental concerns. Said, "Here's the cost. We're willing to put up, you know, just under $7 million for this. You guys need to put up the other part of the $19 million, basically, that's going to cost."
Mm-hmm.
And they went, "Nah, that's going to kill that for us. This is a $650 million project, and $12 million, basically, is the cost that they didn't want to put up."
Yikes.
So here's according to CTV Calgary, this is the part that stopped them in their path. Quote, Gondek adds that the climate resilience expectations of the project, the renewable and low carbon energy study requirement that were laid out in December 2020, months before the arrival of the current council in October. Okay. So she's saying, look, you agreed to this long before we got here. She says the Calgary Sports Entertainment Corporation knew of this requirement, as well as the need for roads and sidewalks, and there were several conversations in the year that followed centered on energy efficiency and climate resiliency of the project. So they've been going through, they've been talking about this. Hey, you know what? We're going to put these sidewalks in. Hey, you know what? We're going to have to get this climate study done. Hey, you know what? We're going to look at this low carbon energy study, all this kind of stuff. Hey, like, don't forget about this.
Yeah.
And they balked and said no, and then walked away from the deal.
Yikes, that's not good.
So Calgary is not getting a new arena as it stands.
Wow.
This is still open for discussion, and don't get me wrong, Mayor Jody Gondek is certainly trying to figure out a way to fix this.
Yeah,
but as it stands right now, the Calgary Flames, who have two billionaires on their ownership group, decided that of the $16 million that they knocked it down to, that they knocked this $19 million cost down to, City of Calgary agreed to pay $6.4 million of. $9.7 million is the final bill that the Calgary Flames had to pay for this. Roughly, basically, what Matthew Tkachuk's going to get on his next contract.
Yeah. Wow.
Calgary Sports Entertainment Corporation killed the arena deal over $9.7 million.
That's... I almost swore again. I'm just trying to think of a word, but I can't. I don't.
And so Jason and I, when we talked about it a few weeks ago, we talked about the remediation costs and how some of that, you know, how those costs seem to go up all the time. Because as more and more digging is done, they find more and more reason to basically have to fix this problem. We were talking about it in regards to the Tempe, Arizona arena that the Coyotes were gonna look at, because the cost of remediation for the Arizona Coyotes was going to cost around $70 million of the total cost of their arena, which a number of economic people, not just economics in general, but people who actually studied remediation, have basically said that that number was not going to be, it was going to be way too low, that it was going to cost more.
Yeah.
So the studies that the city of Calgary wanted to do was to how to lower the cost, basically how we can get better bang for our buck from what it was basically how it was going to be sort of set up. Again, renewable and low carbon energy study requirement. Like, this was, how are we going to sort of mitigate this climate side of it?
Mm-hmm.
And the Calgary Flames said, nah, not going to happen. Not on our bill.
That is insane.
And I don't understand this, because when you think about it, the city of Calgary already pledged $250 million.
Yeah,
towards this. I don't get how billionaires think that they don't have to pay for things.
I literally don't have words right now. Nice. I really don't understand why not do it? It's gonna benefit you in the long run,
right? You would think it would be fine if that was gonna be the case. Like, hey, like, all right, $10 million isn't a huge bill when you consider the overall that you're going to make off this. But hey, yeah. Who am I to tell these guys how to run their business, right?
No, greedy.
End of the day, though, City of Calgary now is stuck with a 32-year-old saddle dome.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future, because these guys didn't want to pony up $10 million.
That's crazy. Yeah, that rink is something else. So
it's going to be something else for a while from what it looks like.
I just don't understand. I really don't.
So I don't understand what's going on. So again, if we go back to some of the setup, the Calgary Next development was forecast in 2016 to require between roughly $85 and $103 million in remediation costs. So again, it was around the same $70 million US mark that the Tempe site was going to cost for the Arizona Coyotes. Again, this isn't going to go away. This still has to be done, whether Calgary builds the arena, whether the Calgary Flames build the arena, whether some neutral party comes in and builds an arena. This remediation cost still has to be paid to somebody because there are environmental concerns in and around the arena.
Yeah.
They're only going to go up the longer you wait on it.
I just...
$10 million is a deal. Take it.
Wow, yeah. It's crazy.
This gentleman by the name of John Bean, president of the Calgary Sports Entertainment Corporation, made the announcement there, quote, wasn't a path forward, unquote, in terms of the money. He also said that the Calgary Sports Entertainment Corporation was awfully close and there was a deal to be had, but they couldn't get it across the line. So wait, if you were awfully close and there was a deal to be had, what stopped you? Because honestly, this is legitimately $10 million on a $650 million price tag.
Yeah, that's I can't think of any other words that are appropriate for me to say on air right now, but I like that nothing is going to my mind except for swears.
You spend more on Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev, who came over from the Vancouver Canucks, than you would on building a new arena.
Yeah, some that's going to benefit you. Like I said, like in the long run, it's going to benefit you. You're going to make money.
It was one of those things that shocked me and it caught me off guard. And I was like, what do you mean there? It's off. Like, no, like that can't happen. And then, yeah, it happened. So that was back on, that was back a week ago, basically on December 22nd, last Wednesday, they called it off. And since then there's been absolutely no movement from either side. So
yeah.
Fantastic, right?
We're doing well, I think.
let's get your opinion as well here, Jenna, because you weren't here when it happened. Thoughts on Paul Maurice stepping down from his role with the Winnipeg Jets?
I mean, it was going to come eventually.
I mean, everybody, again, coaches get hired to get fired, right? But I mean, exactly. He resigned his position basically and said, I'm done here. What was your thoughts on how he exited the building basically?
Honestly, for me personally, good for him going out on his own terms, you know. Obviously that takes like a lot to do, and there had to be something behind the scenes maybe that he had heard, or there was discussions or something. There had to have been something, I think. But personally, I just, good for him for doing it on his own terms rather than just waiting it out, you know. But wow. I don't know, I don't have much to say. Like, I don't know. Like you said, coaches are hired and fired and hired and then fired again. It's just, it was bound to happen eventually. And I mean, at least it was on his own terms, whether or not there was discussions in the background behind those terms. But I don't know.
I mean, I'm not denying any of that. That's all correct in terms of what you said. And certainly going on his own terms is the right way to do it. But big event coming up this weekend. And I'm going to ask you, because you certainly have experience doing this. There's an outdoor game happening in Minnesota. One nice. Minnesota and St. Louis playing in the Winter Classic on January 1st. The annual New Year's Eve game, though, or New Year's Day game, I guess, will be one of the coldest in NHL history, as they're calling for a high of minus 19 and a low of minus 26.
Yeah,
and that's in Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
That's without the wind chill too, hey?
So Edmonton, when they met with Montreal back in 2003 at Commonwealth Stadium in the very first Heritage Classic, it was minus 17. So this will be slightly colder.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine having to do that, to be honest with you. Good for the players, I guess, but that's almost too cold.
38,000 tickets have been sold to watch this game already.
I can't say I'd bring myself to do that.
You wouldn't go and sit. You wouldn't go sit in a baseball stadium with in the middle of January when it's minus 30 out. No.
Honestly, a good experience, but no. That's too cold.
You've played outdoors when it snowed and was cold, and obviously, yeah. I mean, in terms of what to expect, what should these players be expecting? Because again, a lot of us don't get. I mean, a lot of us have played on the outdoor rink, but not a lot of us have played in games that matter on the outdoor rink.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for us, it wasn't too cold that day, so that was the only nice thing. Like, I think we ended up staying on the bench when they flooded because they had to scrape the ice every 10 minutes because there was so much snow. I don't even really know what to say. It sucks. It's a fun idea. Don't get me wrong. It's super fun unless it actually means something. And I know for us, you know, it was whoever wins ended up first place, you know, going into the second half of the season, and we lost in, I think it was overtime or double overtime.
Overtime, yeah.
It was overtime, yeah. And we didn't switch sides and there was no light in our end. So I don't know. Like, it's super fun, but I don't really know what to say because it kind of sucks when it actually means something. I don't know.
This game, I mean, obviously, who knows what's going to happen towards the end of the season, but at least it's a little bit of a break from some of the COVID stuff. Kirill Kaprizov, who is from Serbia, he told basically The Athletic that he's played in outdoor temperatures colder than this before. So
I can't believe it. That's nope. No.
I mean, I know being outside last couple of days, you know, going outside and, you know, getting sort of like, it's cold even if you're bundled up. Like you can't get warm once you get cold, right? I mean, these guys have to wear all their equipment. They have to wear all their stuff underneath their equipment, you know, whether it be, long, I mean, hopefully it's more than just one pair of long johns, but something underneath there that'll keep them warm. But honestly, I don't think that this is going to be a very good game at all. And I know that the NHL wants it to be a good game, but this might just be an absolute travesty when it comes to the way this game is played. Because again, if it's going to be, again, we'll shoot for the middle range here. If it's going to be around minus 23, 24, like that's brutal to play it.
Yeah.
And the goalies who are going to be getting hit with these pucks. No, like I'm done.
Yeah.
How cold are their hands going to be in the blocker and catcher? Like that's the thing.
Right. And like those little hot pocket things, you can't have those in as a goalie because that's going to affect the way you're
right. Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure they have like glove warmers and stuff. But again, in the middle of a game, you can't just go off to the dressing room and warm up your hands. So I'm interested to see how that plays out because that's almost too cold. Like,
I'm wondering who the officials are that got the call for this, because if I'm an official in this, I'm coming out like I'm going to look like a polar bear out there.
Oh, that works too. I'd probably just say, sorry, I'm sick. I don't like the cold.
I can't be here. I'm done.
Yeah.
I just look at this and I go, this is one of those things, again, where it's a great idea, but I'm done with this idea. Like, I've seen enough outdoor games now where I just go, it's not very good. Like, whether it's melting ice, whether it's guys that are just out there to have some fun. I mean, I know that the players take it seriously when they get on the ice, but whether it's guys just out there, you know, sort of, you know, trying to figure out how to play with the sun and the reflection off the ice and all, like half these guys have never even played outdoors in their lives because they've grown up in arenas their entire life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't like this idea. Not that I don't like the idea of the Heritage Classic, the Winter Classic. I like the idea. I like the concept, but I don't like the idea of it happening every year anymore. It's a fad that's run its course, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's not, the hockey's not that it's not good. It's always, that's still good hockey, but not, it's not as good as we're used to seeing when it comes to the NHL with, you know, good reason. Like you said, half the time it's melting ice or there's snowstorms, or this year it's going to be minus 8,000. I don't know. That's terrible.
So, I mean, I was just looking over, because again, we're going to wrap up sort of on the same note that we had as well, but WHL has decided that they're going to postpone all sorts of games now in Manitoba because of capacity restrictions. So January 3rd game, Monday, January 3rd, Moose Jaw at Winnipeg, Friday, January 7th, Calgary at Brandon, Saturday, January 8th, Calgary at Winnipeg. All of them have been postponed due to capacity restrictions. And again, that has some setup there with the Jets. The Jets have a game postponed as well. But basically, 250 people can come to games, and the WHL is going, that's not going to be good for us in terms of what's going to happen. So I guess I don't know how to say this other than money. Yeah. Money again?
Pretty good way to say it.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Ice are a great team, and the Ice are certainly doing very well. Same thing with Brandon. Brandon and the Winnipeg Ice had a great game the other day, and Brandon won 5-4 in overtime. But I look at this and I go, either get the games played or what the heck? Because with Manitoba basically ordering their limit on large gatherings to being 250 people maximum, neither the Jets, neither the Moose, neither the Ice, nor the Wheat Kings are going to be playing any games anytime soon.
Mm.
So,
yeah. No hockey for us.
Right. Like, it's just, it's brutal. And don't get me wrong, I'm complaining only because it's brutal that I can't go watch hockey. I'm not complaining about the fact that we need to get healthy as well. There's a significant gap between those two, and I want to make that very clear. And again, I'm 100% in favor of making sure that we're healthy, that as an actual society, that we are a healthy, functioning society. And if we have to call off games, we have to call off games. We have to do that. No big deal. I'm not against that.
Yeah.
But we're allowed 250 people at those games. Just play the game. Even if nobody shows up to watch the game, play the game. And if you're not going to play the game just because it's a money thing, we're in it for the wrong reason again.
I don't
understand this. I don't get it. I don't want to get it, I guess, but I'm tired of seeing cancellations, and I'm tired of seeing problems arising because people aren't doing the simple things, the bubbling, all that kind of stuff, in terms of making sure that we're safe. I'm tired of seeing a lot of that happen only because it's our last option instead of being our first option.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it's going to cost you money to play these games. Yeah. I don't care if it's going to cost you money to play an entire NHL season with no fans in the stands.
Yeah.
If you want to play the game, stop complaining about what you're not allowed to do.
No, exactly. I agree. Like, more than money.
If you're going to talk about letting hockey players play hockey, then let them play hockey and stop worrying about the economic ramifications of not having fans in the stands. Yeah, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. I get it. Everybody wants to have fans in there and the big cheer and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to make players play and you're not allowed to have fans in the rink, c'est la vie.
Yeah.
At least it gives everybody who's not allowed to be there something to watch when they're at home.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be nice to have something to do, but I'm just over it. I'm over it, as is everyone else. But like you said, if they can play safely, let them play, regardless of if there's going to be people watching or not.
I just, at the end of the day, I mean, again, I get it. I get that COVID's kind of ruining everybody. And obviously New Year's restrictions are going to kill any parties, kill any sort of fun that anybody wants to have that way. I get that. But at the end of the day, we need to be safe. We need to be smart. We need to be taking care of ourselves. And if that means not going out to party, that means not going out to hockey games, not going out to whatever, c'est la vie. That's, again, that's the worst way to say it, but the best way to say it, that's life. Yeah. At the end of the day, though, if we can't get back to doing what we normally do because we're still all sick, you're not going to be a really good time doing anything then.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to focus on getting this thing out of the way and being safe, but if only everyone was focused on that.
I'm trying to be, and I'm hoping, I mean, knock on wood, that you're going to be in the same spot in terms of being healthy again as well. So we'll see what happens, but I'm sure things are going to come up. Obviously it's great having everybody sort of listening to this show, and we want to say thanks to everybody who is listening, because can't do this without, you know, a few good listeners, and certainly everybody that's listening. Want to wish everybody a happy new year, and certainly all the best in 2022. We'll be back next week for sure in terms of coming back. Jenna, you're going to come back, right? Yeah.
Heck yeah, I am.
Heck yeah. We're going to make it a regular thing, I think, in terms of bringing you back. I know we teased it off the top there, but we're going to do it, make you the regular again in terms of coming back. And we'll certainly chat a lot of hockey and have some fun that way. Hey, happy new year, Jenna. I'm glad that you're back in Winnipeg, and looking forward to the adventure that we will start in 2022 here.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Thanks for having me and my shenanigans back again. So
shenanigans.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be fun. We'll have a good time with it. We'll certainly have some good laughs. With that, folks, we're going to get out of here. I want to wish everybody again a merry, happy new year, all that kind of stuff. Certainly all the best on that eve. You're going to be out and having a good time, or you're going to be in and having a good time and need a ride home. Please be safe. Please be responsible doing that, because that's obviously super important and we want to make sure everybody gets home safely. With that, folks, we're out of here for 2021. It's our very last show as stated. So happy new year, everybody. We'll see you next year on The Hockey Show.
The warmth of your love's like the warmth of the sun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand. Now the darkness has gone. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. I won't forget the way you held me up when I was down. Forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time. Your smile, smile for me, little one. And this will be our year. Took a long time to come. You don't have to worry, all your worried days are gone. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you held me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. Yeah, we've only just begun. This will be our year. Took a long time to come.
In the time I've worked here, I've taken great pains to see as little of this building as possible. Turns out the third floor is silent, empty, and completely free of work.
Broadcasting live from the third floor of University Center at the University of Manitoba, this is 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg.